And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. We're talking about salvation, and that's what we've been talking about this weekend, about reaching out to the lost, about reaching people, about being on mission in our marketplace. And our marketplace is wherever we happen to be at that moment. And then pick up at verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. That right there tells us that it's not up to us to do it. It's just up to us to be in God's will, to be according to God's will, and he's going to do it. We just have to be willing to take that first step, as David said during the Sunday school hour, step at a time, but it starts with that first step. Now, we're going to have a couple team members come and share testimonies with you this morning before David takes over. Craig is going to come first, and then my wife Jennifer is going to follow him. After Jennifer, then David's going to come up here and teach.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Really, first I want to thank a family for putting me up this weekend, the Lovers. The Lovers. I just can't believe they could have a last name called Hater. So I got to say, Jerry and Lisa Lovers, man. The love they show to another team member from Ohio and me, just thank you very much. But really, I thank you that God loved through them on us. And it's so good to be back. I was here last year. Just briefly, Craig Nelson, born 1957, baptized 12 years later, and as a counterfeit Christian. My mama's mama went to a Baptist church. My mama went to a Baptist church. I was taken to Sunday school, and I got baptized at 12, and I think I was looking for a ticket out of heaven, but I was a fraud, and I ran. There's a contemporary song. Just real quick, it says, if I can find it, Larry. Sometimes I get a little nervous. I don't know if you could tell. Could you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Now my spirit feels more settled, surely. There's a contemporary song that came out, and I'm just going to read the first couple lines of it, because this is what happened to Craig on October the 7th, 2002, at the age of 45. When love broke through, you found me in the darkness, wandering through the desert. I was a hopeless fool. And that's exactly what Craig was. But God's love broke through. And I'm very, very, I'll tell you what, God did a work to save me that only God could do. I drank 100 proof liquor every day of my life. He took it away after I got up from my knees. I never went to rehab. I never have had another touch of drink, because for me, it would be a sin, because I can't control it. Now, I like to fast forward, though, because it's all about what's God doing now. That's what's important. So in 2012, we had a bunch of loving people from different states come to our church for a lay renewal weekend. And I tell you, that was the first time I felt God calling. It was an old fella. He's home with the Lord now, Mr. Mueller. He came up with a team from even New York City. Blew my mind. I mean, we're Maryland people, but we're still south of the Mason-Dixon. So anyway, God just touched me. By the second weekend, I said, boy, I want to participate. I want to answer. I felt God tugging at me. But you know, for 2 years, I didn't answer yes. So that's 2012 to 2014, I didn't answer yes. But then again, I think I can only say the Holy Spirit had to had to have pricked my heart again. Half the time I lose it, my glasses are on my head. And through renewal, I finally said yes, and I started going as a visiting member, and just like we are now, just folks like you, just being used for God. And I have learned so much from the churches in Virginia, North Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Michigan I've been to, and another. And I've took so much away from Friday night and Saturday, even this morning. It's been a blessing. But I struggle. That's why I'm up here to tell you. I struggle. I have answered the call to go where God calls in church renewal, but that's kind of easy. I can get in my car and drive these, you know, I can drive. I didn't want to work with youth. I said, I'm 61. Oh, not yet.
I'm 60.
I'm 60 years old. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to be working with, I like working with the men, put it that way. But then there was a trip to Toronto last year, and for some darn reason with the youth group, it just wouldn't let go of me. And so I said yes to working on mission, handing out coffees, working a Young Street mission, Evergreen, and it was the first time I had answered a call and said yes to go somewhere else. Problem is for Craig is sometimes I take it out of the Holy Spirit's hands, and I start getting worn down, or I get fooled, deceived, because I'm not letting the Holy Spirit do it. I'm out from under His power, and He's in me, and I'm trying to do it on my own. I have to say I'm a creature of comfort, and I like to eat, in case anybody can't see that visually. And I also love air conditioning. And I'm saying that, you're going, where is this boy going now? But 3 years ago, our church started sending a team to Costa Rica every year, to the slums, not to the resorts of Costa Rica. And 1 year I said, I'll give some money. I gave the money. But this year, in November, we're going in August, I said yes. And there's no air conditioning. But it didn't change me. Because he touched me. You know, I'm just thinking of that song. You know, it's beautiful. So let me finish up with this. There's really good news for us just saying yes to mission. Remember, if you could, jot it down, memorize it. Not the whole verse, but Matthew 24:14. Okay. We're with the Lord who is always victorious. And here's what he says, Matthew 24:14. This is from the New Century Version. The good news about God's kingdom will be preached in all the world to every nation. Whereas some of us have learned this week, every people group. It will happen. And then the verse concludes. Then the end will come. I was sharing Friday night with a small group. We were saying, icebreaker, who'd you like to meet first when you go to heaven? And I said, I think I was the last, came to my turn, I said, Moses. And the reason I said Moses is that I may feel a little creaking in the bones right now for no reason at 60, and I may get discouraged and have to fight that. But you know, Moses kicked it into gear when he was 80 years old. He answered the call. At 80. And I want to I want to answer the call until I go home. We'll put it that way. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you again so much for inviting us and welcoming us here to your wonderful church home. I guess my story starts September 11th, 1984. That was the day when I accepted Jesus into my heart. It's been a long time, and there have been a lot of ups and a lot of downs. A lot of great things, a lot of challenges, heartbreak, sorrow, joy, and a lot of seeing God move. During that time, I have been blessed in my life with four children. And those four people probably have been the greatest blessing, the most phenomenal responsibility, and the greatest source of revealing to me my desperate need for God. And over the last year, God has been doing what I call waking me up. Sadly, in my life, I, probably 5 or 6 years ago, began to compromise. And compromise my faith, compromise what I believe, compromise what I stand for, compromise my God. And my biggest sorrow is that my children have seen that. And my children range in age currently from 27, 25, 19, and 15. And my two oldest daughters are married, and my oldest daughter has one little boy, and my second oldest daughter has two, a boy and a girl. And they have strayed toward what I tried to teach them when they were growing up. And they're not active in church. And the young men that they married, they claim they have been saved, but they don't live it. And I look at my life, and over the past year, God's been kind of really gently prodding me about what I have let go of. And when I look at it, very often I get very angry and I am very resentful. And to a point, that can be good, but just being angry and resentful for anger and resentment's sake doesn't really help anything. So God has been calling me and prompting me, how can I minister, start ministering to those people, that my Jerusalem, my home, my family? And sure, you can preach at them, you can say you should do this, you shouldn't do that, but they're going to push you away because they're grown-ups and they can make their own choices, and they have, and they're doing pretty well. So the Lord has been working with me, and I think he's put in my heart a desire to approach each other. And I'm blessed. I have a good relationship with all of them, including my sons-in-law. They call me mom, so that's great for my heart. But to set a time with them individually and say, hey, I'd like to take you out to dinner, anywhere you want to go. I'll buy you anything you want on the menu except alcohol. And let's just talk. Let's just spend time together because you matter to me. And as part of that conversation, intending and intentional and being deliberate with saying, how's your relationship with the Lord? What are you challenged with? Do you see him working in your life? Do you find that you're growing closer to him? What's keeping you away? And love on them. And go to their house, keep their kids so that they can do things together. My oldest daughter, and I've had some difficulties with each of them, my oldest daughter pushed me away. And at one point she said, I do not want you to tell me that you love me because it's just words. It doesn't matter. They're not true. And it broke my heart. But I kept telling her that I loved her. And I kept showing her that I loved her. And now, very frequently, she says, Mom, just come over. Just come hang out. Just come spend time with me. And what a joy and a treasure that is for me. And this weekend, I have been definitely challenged. David talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14. And the question is, what if? What if I... What if I, who called by God's name because I've received the gift of salvation, what if I humble myself? And what if I pray, seeking God's will, not mine? And what if I seek God's face first and foremost, without wavering, without looking around to whether man approves of me or not? And what if I turn from my wicked ways, my compromising, my anger, my bitterness, my self-focus? Can I believe that he's going to hear from heaven? That he is going to, and he promises in his word that he does forgive me. And that I can count on him to see changes in my Jerusalem that spread into my Judeas and into Samaria and into the ends of the earth. Thank you. And now David's going to come and share.
The psalm, you don't need a double whammy, right? The songs that we're sang, that we sang earlier were about the cross. And then we sang Jesus Saves. We've already heard the sermon over here for the children about being missionaries on the screen. You'll be my witnesses. Two fantastic testimonies of people who are living an intentional lifestyle. Great day already in the Lord. You know, this is March Madness. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about what am I going to share the last 10 minutes that I've got to be with the people. You know, the teams go through practice. They've been practicing. We've been an intensive weekend. We've been working, learning, studying. Just before the game starts, the coach gets them all together in the huddle, and he says something. I've never been in that huddle. I don't know what he says. He may say, go get them, sick them, play the game. But this morning, you're in the huddle. I'm with you. And the verse that I want us to refer to is in 2 Timothy. It's in the 4th chapter, 2nd verse. Paul says to Timothy, knowing that he's about to pass on, preach the word. Proclaim the word. Evangelize. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. This is not in your notes. Don't worry about the notes. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. We're going to begin just before that. So that whole place right now, 2 Timothy, we've actually been in the 3rd chapter, 10th verse is where we're going to begin. But we've talked this weekend very intentionally about living for God, beginning where we are in our home, in the workplace, in the community, outside the walls of the church, on mission for God. Our key verse has been Acts 1:8. Start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Matthew, where the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. You heard it read from Mark earlier. That's been our theme this weekend. What does that mean? What does an intentional missional church look like? The teaching sessions have talked about what? What is it? Why do we do it? We do it, remember, ultimately for the honor and glory of God. So look at this passage real quick, and we're not going to take a lot of time. This is Paul. He's talking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. That's who Paul is. You've seen that. You've watched it. I have walked the talk. And then he makes several points as he goes through these next few verses. And the first one is in verse 3:12. He begins with, of all things, you're going to be persecuted. Now, what a strange thing to say. Here he is. He's getting ready to die. Timothy's a young preacher. He needs encouragement. And Paul says, you will be persecuted. Jesus said the same thing, right? Jim Elliot, who was a missionary, he was killed. He says, why gain or keep that which will not last? Work for that which will endure and cannot be taken from you. I think that's what Paul was telling Timothy there. This life, even if you live for 100, is only a vapor. Live for that which will endure. Second point is in 3:14. It is important that we teach our children. The scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, are sacred. They are there for a purpose. 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's good for a teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that we may become mature, complete Christians, equipped for service. And I put in parenthesis, out in the world where Jesus says, I send them into the world. And then our text verse is 4:2. Preach the word. You know, and this is very, very intentional when he says this. Before God, before Jesus, in light of him as the judge, preach the word. Now, yes, Timothy was a preacher. He was a young preacher. He was a pastor of a church. But this applies to all of us. Proclaim, evangelize, preach the word. And without compromise, as we just heard in the testimony. Romans says, don't be conformed, but transformed through the renewing of your mind. And I think this comes into play right here. So that you can preach the word. This weekend, all the sessions we talked about, we can boil it down into those three words right there. Preach the word. And then he says, in season and out of season. Sometimes we just don't want to preach the word. It's out of season. We don't want to do it. But he says, in season, out of season, preach the word. Rebuke when we need to. Correct when we should. Encourage. Teach. And then he says, around all of that, have great patience. Because we're not always going to get the response we want. People are going to criticize us. They're going to fuss about it. But he says, preach the word with great patience. Number four, if we're going to do that, we've got to walk the talk. We've talked about that. He says, exercise self-control. We can ruin our testimony just like that. Real quick, our tongue, our actions, we need to speak the truth in love. Preach the word, speak it in love. And then he comes back to what he started with. Verse 5, right in the middle there, it says, endure hardship. It's already said at the beginning, you're going to be persecuted. Endure hardship. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Remember, evangelists, we get good news. Evangelism, good news. The good news that Jesus died on the cross. We sang it. The cross. Jesus saves. Preach the word. Preach the good news. We preach the good news. We share it. Remember, based on what we have witnessed in our life. What we have shared. What we know. We can't do it unless we're already a disciple. The last part of verse 5 says, Paul now, and he's encouraging Timothy to be able to say this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. When we reach the end of our assignment for God, we need to be able to say that. We need to be able to say like Jesus said, I have completed the work you gave me to do. And then he says, there is a crown of righteousness for all believers. I don't know what that crown is. Maybe it's just heaven and being with Jesus. But we know that at the end of this life, when we've completed our assignment, and that assignment, how do we know it's complete? Because we'll be dead or the rapture, one of the two. It's never complete until we pass away and die, or the church has been raptured. At the end of that, we have eternal life, heaven, the new heaven, living forever with Jesus. You and I have an unbelievable opportunity for the day in which we live to share the gospel, to meet the needs of others. God has blessed us so much. The encouragement from me to you, preach the word in your marketplace. Wherever you go, preach the word. As Nike would say, just do it. Just do it. You've got a handout there. That's not for this morning, but that's for your quiet time. But pull it out real quick. Take a look at it. This is from David Platt. His ministry group is called Radical, is the name of the group. But it's from David Platt. And he says it's a personal disciple-making plan. I want you to take a look at that sometime this afternoon, tomorrow. But don't throw it away. Come back to it. And there are several questions that it asks for you to think about and answer. How will I feel my mind with truth? Renewing of your mind. How do I fill it with truth? How and when will I read God's word? How will I memorize it? How will I learn God's word from others? Second question, how will I fuel my affection for God? How will I pour gasoline on that fire, on that spark, make it grow? How will I worship? How will I fast? How will I pray? How will I give? Number three, how will I share God's love as a witness in the world? Who will I share it with? Where will I share it? And when? Number four, how will I show God's love as a member of Kingsway Baptist Church? Who will I share God's love with? What will I do to share it? Number five, how will I spread God's glory among all peoples as he commanded us to do in Matthew and Acts? How will I pray for all the nations, all the people groups? How will I give so that all the people groups are reached? How will I go so that all people groups are reached? Number six, how will I make disciples among a few people? And that was the example that Jesus set for us. How will I bring them in? How will I teach my disciples who are disciples of God to obey? How will I model obedience? How will I send them out to go and make disciples? And in the middle of the last paragraph, I'm going to read this. Every disciple of Jesus has been called. We're loved. We were created and saved to make disciples of Jesus, who made disciples of Jesus, who made disciples of Jesus until the grace of God is enjoyed and the glory of God is exalted among every people group on the planet. That's our assignment.